Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. As a reminder of who I am, like I said, my name is Chip Lang, and this is the Tools of the Trade and Academic Learning and Emergency Medicine Podcast, or Total EM. I run the blog and podcast for this. So if you're listening, hopefully you're finding this through a Total EM site or one of the many podcast players that are out there. And I love to have different discussions on different topics over time. I'm an emergency medicine PA who practices in rural Missouri, but I also do a number of other fun things on the side, including teaching point-of-care ultrasound with Practical POCUS. But I love having guests on. I love talking about different things that come along the way. Mike Sharma, for example, with the ATLS podcast series, we've been going over that with time. And that ties in very nicely for what today's podcast is. And that's all about the concept behind why plasma first resuscitation and trauma is potentially a real consideration. And we're going to dive a little bit into the evidence and the science behind this. And this is all thanks to getting feedback from people. So I love when I get emails or comments that reach out and ask specific questions, or if you want feedback or ideas or stuff like that. I get quite a few of those, and I really like that. And anytime that it looks like we can make something as a podcast, I will do that. And that's what happened this time around, just like we did recently, where there was someone else who wanted a podcast or a discussion on something. We tied that in as well, such as tibial plateau fractures. Well, this time around, they wanted to go into a more detailed dive about plasma and why I thought, with podcast number 215 on shock and trauma, why I said that I use plasma first in resuscitation. And this is a lot about science and a little bit about just some surrounding evidence behind it and what the thought processes are. And again, there's a lot to tie into this. And because of how unique that podcast was, podcast number 215, I also had a couple other follow-up podcasts. So number 216 was about vasopressin and trauma, and then podcast number 219 talked all about volume resuscitation and what type of access you should use and why, what may be considered best in certain situations. Well, this time around, when I threw this one in, what I was looking at was someone who said, hey, like, you explained why you give plasma first, but why not packed red blood cells? And why not crystalloids, since the crystalloids would be doing the similar things that you're looking for in the plasma? Well, that's a great conversation, and that's why I wanted to throw that in. You can read the email and see what I'm talking about directly in the show notes for podcast number 222. And what I'm going to do here is just kind of concisely go through some of the key evidence and what is out there. First off, I should mention that whenever possible, you should give whole blood. This is not talking about using instead these individual products, but if you don't have whole blood, which most of us don't, especially in pre-hospital environments or in rural and remote settings, you have to stick with the individual components. And this also has a little bit of a caveat of assuming that you can get plasma quickly and readily. Some of us only have access to fresh frozen plasma versus liquid plasma. And with FFP or fresh frozen plasma, it takes time to thaw. So your packed red blood cells, your PRBCs, are much more readily available. So for many cases, the PRBCs are given first because they're just simply more readily available. And that is all that it comes down to. But what if you had everything equally available? What if you had liquid plasma, you had packed red blood cells, and by chance you maybe had some platelets available to you? Realistically, plasma offers the most benefits because usually your hypoxia and trauma is more related to the tension pneumothorax than it is about simply not having enough hemoglobin to carry the oxygen around. That and other potential pathologies as well. But I'm using the tension pneumothorax as one of the common and highly lethal examples that we run into. So let's talk a little more about this. Well, plasma is preferred versus crystalloids based on what is in the plasma. While it lacks the hemoglobin for oxygen carrying capacity, it does carry many other important components simply not seen with crystalloids, such as normal saline or lactated Ringer's. And given there are going to be some differences between them, but this is a nice, simple way to think about it. There has been evidence demonstrating that resuscitating with plasma instead of crystalloid repairs the, quote, endotheliopathy of trauma, end quote. or the systemic endothelial injury and dysfunction that lead to coagulation disturbances and inflammation. While saline can improve volume, as well as other crystalloids like lactated ringers, plasma can do this and address the underlying coagulopathy, at least in part since it doesn't necessarily have platelets. In approximately a third of patients, trauma-induced coagulopathy is seen within the first 15 minutes of trauma, which would be prior to any resuscitation efforts in most cases. And it even is in higher ratios past that time frame. But a third of patients in the first 15 minutes, that's incredible. So these people already have derangements in the ability to coagulate their blood, and they don't have something that can help them out. That is where plasma can play a major role. But let's dive into this a little more in detail. So it's worth mentioning that the systemic impact of hemorrhagic shock on the endothelium has become more widely recognized. Endotheliopathy of trauma is a term to describe the systemic endothelial injury and dysfunction that can lead to coagulation disturbances, inflammation, vascular leak, edema, and tissue injury. Plasma has a beneficial impact on endothelial permeability. When endothelial cell permeability is induced by hypoxia, thrombin, or vascular endothelial growth factor, plasma has been shown to repair endothelial tight junctions and decrease the paracellular permeability. This is something that's not seen with crystalloids, and in fact, crystalloids can worsen it. The increased permeability of the endothelium during shock states is better controlled by plasma, whereas crystalloids can and are known to lead to significant interstitial edema and other complications such as acute respiratory distress syndrome, or ARDS, and multi-organ failure. If you want kind of like a quick, easy way to review this, I do have a figure with some explanation as far as like what you're seeing. This is from one of the articles that's being cited in here, but it shows how there is an iatrogenic resuscitation injury that can occur with crystalloids that doesn't necessarily happen with plasma, and why plasma does a much better job at controlling the edema and the endothelial injury that occurs. So why this is very important to understand, this is something that can be better illustrated by the figure that is included in the show notes. So make sure to go back to podcast number 222 at totalem.org to be able to see that. The benefits of plasma do not stop with the coagulation. Similar to crystalloids, plasma is isoosmolar with blood and contains all the cations and anions present in blood. However, this balance would be closer to the actual balance seen in blood versus the abnormalities noted in products such as normal saline or lactated ringers. Like colloid resuscitation fluids, including albumin or non-human polysaccharides such as large dextrans and starches, it has high oncotic pressure, 28 millimeters mercury versus 3 millimeters mercury in saline, which helps to keep fluids in the vessels. This all points to the benefits of plasma versus other fluids used in resuscitation that would not be considered blood products. Essentially, plasma addresses many of the issues that arise in trauma that simply cannot be fixed with crystalloids. These are some of the key examples, and there's even more that could be discussed here, but I don't want to be overwhelming with this because, again, this covers a lot of the key topics, a lot of the key things that I feel like are most beneficial with plasma and helps further support the use of plasma first in trauma versus, say, going with the PRBCs or, if you're really lucky, having platelets on hand. And while crystalloids can help with volume resuscitation, it really adds nothing else meaningful and really increases the risks of complications and harm. PRBCs and platelets still matter in addition to plasma and should still be used. In fact, like I said, if I have whole blood readily available, that's what I'd rather go with than any of these individual components. But if I have to choose an individual component, I would prefer to go with plasma first because this helps address the underlying coagulopathy, which is such a killer in trauma. You're going to see this more over time as trauma teams are recognizing the benefits of using plasma earlier in resuscitation. And there are some great discussions out there that I really encourage you to look at, including some studies such as COMBAT and PAMPER trials, which other sources such as Rebel EM have reviewed in more detail. So I linked the Rebel EM review for the Combat and Pamper trials in the show notes as well. Hopefully this may give you a better idea of why in podcast number 215 with Shock and Trauma, I was talking about using plasma first. Like I said, it's really a bit of a deep dive. This would have been an extra 10 minutes to add on to that podcast. It's already very long. And again, something that's not directly discussed in ATLS. So I don't want to take away from our discussions with those ATLS chapters and instead can do these isolated podcasts instead. Hopefully you enjoy this. And if you do, please give me that feedback. Or if you have other topics, other questions that you have from different podcasts, especially this ATLS series, because there's so many things to unpack in those discussions, let me know. Again, send me an email to thetotalem@gmail.com or just contact us through the website, which is fairly easy to do. Whatever works best for you. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.